Call the Senate Finance Committee to order. It's a couple of minutes after 9. Joining me this morning are Senator Ellis, Senator Olson, Senator McGuire, Senator Egan, Senator Thomas. The co-chairman is working on other projects this morning. So we have three bills before us today. They're both, all three of them are the first hearings on the legislation, so we don't anticipate any action on them. The first one is HB 131, Community Transportation Advisory Board, House Bill 246, naming certain bridges, and House Bill 258, naturally occurring asbestos. The first bill is by Representative Munoz regarding Community and Transportation Advisory Board. As I said, this is the first hearing on the bill. It's the intent to have the sponsor introduce the legislation, take public testimony, and set the bill aside for further review. Representative Munoz.
Good morning. Nice to see you. I'm Kathy Munoz, representative for District 4 here in Juneau, and with me is Jeff Otteson with the Department of Transportation. HB 131 creates a Community and Transportation Advisory Board to assist programs of state, federal, and local agencies that provide community-based transportation services. There are more than 20 federally funded transportation programs that funnel dollars into Alaska for community transportation. Over $80 million is spent annually on community transportation projects around the state. Public transportation is vital to all Alaskans. The board will work toward funding solutions to maintain and better public transportation. The board will identify gaps in services and try to avoid duplication of services. The board will consist of 13 members with the local and state governments, the Denali Commission, the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority, the Department of Transportation, nonprofits, and those community transportation organizations that serve senior citizens and persons with disabilities. The fiscal note is $112,500, $90,000 of which is federal receipt, $11,200 is a state match, and $11,300 comes from the Mental Health Trust Authority. Here to speak to the specific issues of the board and speak to the coordinated transportation, the need for coordinated transportation, is Jeff Otteson, and I am also available to take questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, for the record, Jeff Otteson, Director of Program Development in Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. I also have another hat to wear today. I have been the governor's appointed chairman of the Coordinated Transportation Task Force for the past two times. The task force has been in existence for about 3 years now in total. And in that capacity, I really learned how important coordinated transportation is for all Alaskans. Just a few statistics. About 11% of our public is in need of coordinated transportation. These are seniors, people with disability, people who lack sufficient income to afford an automobile. One way or another, they can't get around like the rest of us are able to do. So transportation is an important component in their life. When you recognize that some of that 11% are heads of household, you then have other people in the household who are also dependent upon that member. So it really does stretch to an even larger proportion of our public. You heard from Representative Munoz that it's $80 million, more than 20 different programs, that those dollars and programs are spread across many different agencies. They are federal, they are state, in some cases they are tribal, local, and nonprofit. As you might imagine, trying to get them all to kind of come together and pull their oar in the same direction at the same time is a difficult thing. And that's the purpose of the commission, is to help achieve that coordination. Finally, I would say this is a true statewide issue. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, it's really just about the bus systems in the urban areas. But one anecdotal story will show you how important coordinated transportation is regardless of where you live in Alaska. There was an elder who had to get to urban Anchorage for medical treatment, traveling by wheelchair. When that person arrived in the urban center, there was no cab capable of holding her wheelchair, and instead, at state expense. They paid for ambulance service to deliver her to her medical treatment. So you end up, had we had coordinated transportation that was working, the state might have paid $40 for a cab ride instead of perhaps $800 or $1,000 for an ambulance ride. So this is an area where you can achieve savings. You've heard that there's a fiscal note that largely uses federal dollars. These are federal dollars that come to us each year for transit planning. The Federal Transit Administration has identified coordinated transportation as one of their highest priorities. So whether we spend this money on this commission or we spend this money trying to achieve coordination in other means, the dollars would be coming in and be spent for this purpose one way or another. So it really is a non-additive cost to the state budget. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Do any members have any questions at this time? Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my understanding of the bill is it's changing the name of an existing committee, basically, our board, and basically it retains the same mission and makes it permanent, basically. Is that what we're attempting to do, short form?
Thank you, Senator. It goes on, it extends the work of the commission until 2016.
2016, okay. Thank you.
Further questions? Senator McGuire.
Thank you, and through the chair, Representative Munoz. We, when we did the omnibus energy bill, we put a clause in there requiring the Department of Transportation to look at compressed natural gas as a fuel source as we replace our aging fleets. And I wonder if you'd be amenable. I understand this is the bill's first hearing today.
Yes.
Okay. If you'd be amenable to language within your bill that specifically tasks this board to consider that issue. It's a long-held dream of mine that we could have a more affordable fuel base for our transportation fleet, and then also to create that demand that I think would support an in-state gas line, an in-state gas supply. So just wondering if you're amenable to that.
I am. Thank you. I think any opportunity to improve efficiencies and energy, use of energy, is positive. And I would ask the opinion also of Jeff on that issue.
About 20 years ago, I worked to get compressed natural gas vehicles into the state equipment fleet. We got a small handful. So I've been an advocate of this for a long time.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. Further questions? Seeing none, there is one fiscal note from the Department of Transportation Public Facilities. There is no fiscal impact to the state. The board will be funded through federal capital funds in the amount of $112,500. We'll go to public testimony at this time. In the room, we have Marie Darlin. Please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Marie Darlin, and I'm representing AARP. And we just want to say we fully support this measure. There's no need to repeat what you've already heard from Kathy and Mr. Otteson. But we really think that this is needed. I also serve on the Alaska Commission on Aging, and as we go around meeting in different locations, one of the biggest things that's always brought forth is the need for transportation, some type of coordinated transportation, and that's what we really think this bill would then start working on, so that, you know, among the things that they hopefully would do, and that would be to actively promote the public participation of consumers, which we get a lot of, but they would also, including the older people, and in the transportation planning decisions on such issues as the routing of services, placing and designing of highways and roads, and then investing in and deploying intelligent transportation systems, which means that's maybe going to be something a little better than what we have in some areas right now where the lack of coordinated transportation is a real problem. And with the aging of Alaska's population, we will have an increasing number of older Alaskans for whom mobility actually is a critical peace of mind issue. planning for effective transportation that works for Alaskans of all ages is what we're looking for from this task force. And with that, we do request an aye vote on House Bill 131.
Thank you for that testimony. We will move on to Ketchikan, where we have two individuals. The first individual to testify is Kevin Gadsey. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Mr. Hoffman, Senator Hoffman, and honored senators, thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today. My name is Kevin Gadsey, and I'm representing Southeast Alaska Independent Living in Ketchikan. Today, I just want to share a couple of stories about this transportation task force that has been in existence for the previous years. About 2 or 3 years ago, I was at the State Transportation Conference, where this commission, in its original form, that had been created by Governor Palin at the time, had basically presented a lot of their ideas off of the previous year. And I just want to say how impressed I was that at some of their solutions to unique problems, such as how to help people with disabilities and wheelchair users be able to use float planes more effectively, and the issues of all these multiple buses that we have in the small communities that are tasked only for certain uses, for instance, senior buses and school buses, and why can't we use them during their off times to be able to get people around? That was a major solution for some of the communities up north, to use the school bus to provide Meals on Wheels and transportation for seniors during the noon hour. And we can just say that there's so many problems out here for folks with disabilities and elders who want to be able to fly in and out of their home communities for medical care or for business or for many other reasons, just to visit family and relatives. And that's limited right now in our wonderful state. And ultimately, we need this task force to be a permanent entity so that it can work to solve these problems, so that people can get around and spend their tax dollars where they want to and visit their communities and really continue to see Alaska as their home state. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Gadsey. Staying in Ketchikan, Ruth Doolin, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, I'm Ruth Doolin from Ketchikan, Alaska, and I think a task force makes a lot of sense if we're going to have transportation money, which kindly has been allocated by the state and finding matching funds now from the federal government. It makes sense to me not to repeat things. It makes sense to have a commission that can effectively figure out how to use what we've got. And I've been to Metlakatla from Ketchikan, and it was a little bit difficult for me to find my way around town. I'm in a wheelchair, and for me to do what I needed to do, it would be nice to be able to solve those kinds of problems. It was hard to find a cab. You know, it was just a difficult adventure altogether. So I'm just thinking that it's good to have a committee that decides what to do. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Doolin. We'll move on to Kodiak. Pat Brownson, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony. Do we have Pat Branson in Kodiak with the senior citizens of Kodiak? They hung up? Okay. All right, they hung up. So that was all the individuals that were going to testify on this bill. We'll set the bill aside for further consideration. That brings us to our second piece of business, which is House Bill 246 by Representative Thomas regarding the naming of certain bridges and airports. I'm pretty sure this is his priority legislation. So this is the first hearing on the bill. It's the intent to adopt a committee substitute, have a sponsor introduce the bill, and take public testimony, set the bill aside. Senator Ellis, can we have the adoption of committee substitute version D for our working document?
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
I'll object. Is there discussion? We'll have an explanation from Ms. Gage on the CS. Please present the CS to the committee.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Penny Gage, staff to Senator Stedman. I will present the changes to the Senate Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 246, sponsored by Representative Thomas. There are three changes in the committee substitute. The first in line one of the title, inserting a certain bypass road. The second on page two, line 29 at the request of Senator Olson, inserting the Greg Krescheck Avenue. The state-owned Nome bypass road is named Greg Krescheck Avenue. Further changes on line 31, at the request of the mayor and city council of the city of Petersburg, the Harry Keto Bridge, the bridge over Falls Creek at mile 10.4 of the Mitkoff Highway, is named Harry Keto Bridge after Lance Corporal Donald Harry Keto. This concludes changes to the Senate Finance Committee substitute for HB 246.
Are there questions on the committee substitute? Seeing none, I'll remove my objection to the adoption of the committee substitute. Is there further objections? Seeing none, version D is our working document. With that, we'll have a description from the staff of Representative Thomas.
Good afternoon, Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Rachel Kalander, staff for Representative Bill Thomas, here to testify on House Bill 246, which will name, after the adoption of the CS, 16 bridges, 2 airports, and 1 road after prominent Alaskans. 15 of the bridges listed in the bill are in Cordova. I was raised in Cordova, so I'm deeply honored to recognize the veterans of my community. Like many communities, Cordova is only accessible by boat or plane, and the community is extremely tight-knit. The veterans of our community served in every major war of the 20th century, and after Vietnam, it was said that Cordova had lost more young men per capita than any other city in the United States. In honor of those brave men, the city of Cordova and Representative Bill Thomas have requested that these unnamed bridges on the highway will be named for each of the sons they have lost. Quickly, for the record, from World War I, we have James Bennett, William Jones, Steve Green, Lucien Platt, Matthew Anderson, W.H. Mumby, and John W. Jones. From World War II, we had Patrick B. Burchett, Norman Osborne, Leonard Olson, and from Vietnam, David Henry Elisofsky, David Allen Leip, Warren Allen Paulson, and Michael Dean Banta. The city of Cordova has also requested that the bridge over the Eyak River be named after Marie Smith Jones. She was an Eyak elder who worked tirelessly to preserve the Eyak language and was the last known fluent Eyak speaker. She left behind one of the most comprehensive records for any Aboriginal language, not only in Alaska, but in the nation. So in conclusion, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the sponsor believes that it would be an honor for the residents of Cordova to name these bridges, airports, and one road in Nome after the young men who made the ultimate sacrifice, and to name the Eyak Bridge after Miss Marie Smith Jones. Thank you.
Thank you for that description of the legislation. Do members of the committee have any questions? Seeing none, there is one fiscal note from the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for 93.7 in general funds. We'll proceed to public testimony. We have Rachel Kalander.
That's me.
That was you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We had that testimony already. So, going to the off-net, Amelia Keto Gage. Are you online?
Yes, good morning.
Please proceed with your testimony. Identify yourself for the record.
My name is Amelia Quito Gage. I'm from Sitka. That's where I live. But now my hometown is Petersburg. I'm calling in support of the passage of this bill. I appreciate the public process, which responds to the wishes of its citizens and has a desire to honor individuals by the naming of bridges in a very special way. I looked at the bill and see the names listed, and I know that there are stories behind them that mean a lot to all the people represented by those names and those communities. Of particular interest to me is the addition of naming the Petersburg Falls Creek Bridge in honor of my brother, Lance Corporal Donald Harry Quito, U.S. Marine Corps. He was known affectionately by family and friends as Harry, and he was named for his maternal grandfather. Harry was born May 18, 1942 in Tacoma. Our parents were interned at the Japanese internment camp near Tacoma. Harry lived his life in Petersburg, and he died in the Vietnam War, July 8, 1967. He was 25 years old. On behalf of my family, I would appreciate your support of this, the action of this bill, and I know that if it comes to pass, it will lend a certain comfort to the loss we have felt, as well as be a reminder to the general public that sacrifices for our country are made nationwide and that they have real faces and names. I wish to thank the Petersburg City Council for their wholehearted support and swift action to include a bridge named for Harry in our hometown. I wish to thank Senator Sidman and his office staff for attention to this addition. And I wish to thank Representative Bill Thomas for his sponsoring and origination of this bill, with its emphasis on honoring veterans, as well as the co-sponsors of this bill. I thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony, and I look forward to this action taking place and that this bill becomes law. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Quito Gage. Is all the individuals that are here to testify. Do you have any final comments before we set this bill aside?
No, I do not. Thank you very much, and good morning.
Thank you. Does the sponsor representatives have any final comments? No? Okay, we'll set this bill aside. That brings us to the final bill of business before this committee, which is House Bill 253, Natural Occurring Asbestos. This is by Representative Reggie Jewell. This is the first hearing on the bill. The intent today is to have the sponsor introduce the bill, take public testimony, and then set the bill aside for further review. Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the Senate Finance Committee. Thank you for hearing House Bill 258. This bill has to do with naturally occurring asbestos, and it balances the need of an area that has now naturally occurring asbestos with the health of the community. And it provides a way forward for all parties to deal with naturally occurring asbestos and how capital projects can be worked, because they've been stymied for almost 10 years because we've not had a policy in this state of working with naturally occurring asbestos. Since we started working on the bill, there's been the third floor, Department of Transportation, Environmental Conservation, Health and Social Services, Natural Resources, Department of Law, Department of Labor, in addition to Nana Regional Corporation and our office, working together to try and find a way forward in dealing with naturally occurring asbestos, keeping in mind that the health of the people in the area is at the forefront. And to that end, we've also had the state epidemiologist directly involved in developing the language of the bill. The community wants this legislation. It has the support of the departments. It has the support of the third floor. It has the support of, as I mentioned, of the private landowners. What this bill does is it establishes a measurable baseline for naturally occurring asbestos material. If it is 0.25% and above, it's defined as naturally occurring asbestos gravel. If it is 0.24 and below, it is defined simply as gravel or aggregate material. So essentially what we're doing, Mr. Chairman, is establishing a new base, and where we've got that percentage is from the state of California, who's been dealing with naturally occurring asbestos for some time. They started out at 5%, moved to 3%, and for the last several years have been at 0.25%. It creates a voluntary program that allows certain areas to use naturally occurring asbestos gravel for construction projects. It provides immunity to landowners, people involved in the construction process, and the state of Alaska from being sued for naturally occurring asbestos-related injuries, deaths, or sicknesses. Finally, it allows projects to move forward after many years of delay. There's been a couple of studies to see, just in its natural state, what naturally occurring asbestos, whether or not there's been anything symptomatic in the community. And these are health surveys. 2005, the State Department of Health had a study, and in 2007, Manilok Association had an impact study. And in those two, there were no significant findings. Major projects that have been delayed for a long time, Mr. Chairman, include work on the airport. There's a bridge there that's where the footings are twisted and gnarled up, and the bridge needs replacement. There's sewer lagoon, and there's erosion abatement. Now, I will mention, Mr. Chairman, that in its natural state, when planes land, when four-wheelers are riding around, in its natural state, this stuff is just there. And we haven't been able to get any projects except one when a sewage lagoon broke. And the cost of shipping up gravel by barge to have, quote-unquote, clean gravel was astronomical. I believe it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $50 a yard or something to bring it in. And it might even been more than that. But, Mr. Chairman, with me I have Brody Anderson, who's been working the bill, and we'd be available for any questions.
All right. Thank you for that testimony or presentation, Representative Jewell. Do members of the committee have any specific questions of the prime sponsor? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Jewell, you just kind of point out the immunity clauses that are in the legislation there in California, since we're using them as a kind of a model, especially for the percent or the 0.25 versus 0.24.
Brody?
Thank you for the record. My name is Brody Anderson, staff to Representative Reggie Jewell. Through the chair, Senator Olson, this legislation does go farther than California does go with their immunity. Because it is a voluntary program, our immunity definitely is the carrot or the reward for following the compliance of a site-specific plan. So we do go farther than California.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Further questions of the committee? Seeing none, we will move on to public testimony. We have on the off-net, we have Elizabeth Hensley from Anchorage, representing the Nana Regional Corporation. Ms. Hensley, please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Elizabeth Hensley. I'm with Nana Regional Corporation. Thank you very much for hearing this bill today. I would like to go on the record in support of this bill and really think it's necessary to move forward the capital projects that have been on hold in Ambler for many years. So thank you very much, and I'd just like to keep my remarks brief. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Hensley. Staying on the off-net, with the mayor of the city of Ambler, Morgan Johnson. Please identify yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for having me on board to testify on behalf of City of Ambler and the residents in Ambler. It's always good to be testifying again, hopefully get closer to signing the bill or passing it forward to the finance. We do need to take care of this dust problem, NOA problem. It's been holding a lot of projects ever since 1999, I believe. The gravel pit owned by NANA hasn't been used only due to emergencies on sewage breach. And this spring, we might have to, depends on how high the water gets in the river, North Loop water line is right there, 2-3 feet from spring breakup. It could take out our North Loop water line, telephone poles, AVAC line is right there too, 5 feet from the river. So thank you all, Senators, Brody, Jewell, Olson, and all your representatives working together to take care of this problem with all your help and your effort. You know, we all can make this thing go away and live with a lot less NOA dust problems that, you know, is going to affect people in the future probably. Thank you all.
Thank you, Mayor Johnson, for that testimony. Is there anyone else that would like to testify on this bill? Seeing none, there are 6 fiscal notes in the packet, 3-0 fiscal notes from the Department of Natural Resources, Law and Labor, 1 fiscal note from the Department of Transportation for $210,100 in general funds, and 1 new full-time position to develop and implement the standards, standard operating procedures, 1 fiscal note from the Department of Environmental Conservation for $27,800 in general funds, to assist in the development of standard operating procedures, and 1 fiscal note from the Department of Health and Social Services for $21,300 in general funds to assist in the development of standards and operating procedures. Do you have any closing comments, Representative Jewell?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your hearing this bill. I know it's going to go back and get some attention given to it. I guess if I would say one thing, Mr. Chairman, it would be this. We have many communities across this state that deal with dust, particles of dust that just fly around because the cost of dust abatement in rural Alaska is very expensive. And we've run pilot after pilot after pilot, and we haven't seemed to find something that works, but I would venture to guess that dust without the naturally occurring asbestos, because it's so much more fine in its fibers, is probably more of a hazard to people's health than what we're talking about and what we're trying to accomplish with this bill, Mr. Chairman. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Jewell. Are there any final comments on this bill from any committee members? Seeing none, we'll set the bill aside for further consideration. That concludes the public testimony on the legislation, and that concludes the business of the committee for this morning. The next meeting is scheduled for later on today at 1 p.m. With that, we will be adjourned.